You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Got your Bibles out? I got my iPad, but I have more Bibles than you have out. I have several Bibles in this thing, so concordances and dictionaries and everything you can imagine. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I know, don't y'all start coveting now. That's a sin. I'm supposed to covet. I want to teach on this morning, just something stirring in me. I ministered before years ago, but it's stirring in me again. I've got to be careful to title it because I don't want it to sound political. It's not political at all, although it's going to overlap. I don't know how you get around it. But change you can believe in, you know. That went over real big. Change can be good. There can be change you can believe in. There have been political slogans along those lines. And a lot of people think that we just need change. We need change. We need change. But we don't really think about what we're changing into or where we're going with that change. It's one thing to say that we need change, but change to what? You know, we had a whole campaign slogan on change we could believe in. And, well, most people saying you can keep the change. But anyway, it wasn't a change for the better. It was actually a change for the worse. Some of the things that we've done were different. There were a lot of major changes done in our country. So you can't say, well, change is good. Change is good. No, change is not always good. Change can be good. Or change can be bad. You can be a good person and change to a bad person. You can be nice and all of a sudden become hateful. That's a change. That wouldn't be good. So there has to be some standard that we gauge change by, something that we look at, that we're trying to achieve. We're changing something so we can be different than what we are. What is it that we're trying to be? And, of course, the Word of God lists all kinds of things that we need to become and be, and so on and so forth. Some things never change. You don't want them to change. God, for instance, He is the Lord God. He changes not. Thank God He does not change. You know, when you think of God just philosophically or theologically or one of those icklies, that God is perfect. Therefore, for God to change in His nature, His character, would have to be a digression. He'd have to change for the worse because He couldn't get better. Could God get better? No. Could God be any more honest? No. Could it be any more perfect? No. So He's the Lord God, He changes not. Does that make sense? Because for Him to change would have to be a change for the worse, because there's nothing better than God. It doesn't get any gooder than God. God is good, He's good as it gets. So He's the Lord God, He changes not. Now that's in His nature and His character. Now He changes the way He deals with us because we're constantly changing. I mean, if you've ever been hog hunting, you ever try to round up a bunch of little pigs? You're constantly changing. Because they're running this way and that way and this way and that way, and you're trying to gather them all up or whatever. Or we can just make it a little simple. Kids, you got kids? Okay. We had five children. You know, we have five children. I remember when they were growing up. I mean, we were constantly zigging and zagging because they were zigging and zagging. But, we tried our best not to change who we were. But we're always changing how we deal with it. And God changes how He deals with us because we're not always constant ourselves. He's constant. He's good. He doesn't change in His character and His nature. But He's constantly readjusting with us to work with us because He starts here with us and we wind up over there. And so He goes over here and tries to work with us here. So when we say God does not change, we're talking about His nature doesn't change. His character doesn't change. But all through the Scripture, God changed judgments. He changed. He'd make decrees and judgments, and people would repent, and He'd take that judgment off them. He'd even tell them He was going to change it. He said, look, if you repent, I won't do this. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah. But He Himself, you're never going to catch Him on a bad day. He's the Lord God. He changes not. He's not going to lie to you. He's not going to tell you the truth one day and lie to you another day. So Malachi 3:6, tells us, I am the Lord God, I change not. Another good one when you think about it is 2 Corinthians. Did I tell you to turn anywhere? Oh, good. So I can tell you to turn anywhere now, right? Good. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4. Let's just turn there and look at a verse. I'm just talking about some things that don't change. Because when we talk about change, let's remember there are some things that should never, never, ever, ever change. I believe the church is progressing or changing as with the times, as it were, some ways good, some ways bad. We start changing our doctrine, that's bad. Are you with me? We change our approach in reaching people, that can be good. That can be very good. You know, we used to have all of our services, when the church originally started, it was done in Hebrew and Greek, depending on the church, because that's what they spoke then. Hello. And then, of course, the influence of the Catholic Church and the Roman Empire and so on and so forth, it turned into Latin. And then for, I mean, hundreds of years, hundreds and hundreds of years, centuries and centuries, all church services were done in Latin, okay, because that's what the people spoke. They spoke Latin. But then, even as the people began to speak other languages, they still held on to having Latin services. Now, that should change because you're not communicating anymore. Are you with me? And we need to communicate with each other. This is 2011, okay? And I should communicate with you on that basis, not compromise holiness, not compromise the gospel, not compromise the doctrine. But there's a lot of times we'll use examples or current events or use English language, and if you're here, you're going to hear East Texan, okay? Because that's where we are. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And we have music that changes. You know, we have younger people coming in, and sometimes our music changes. And, man, we get all upset because we don't want to change this. Well, a style of music has nothing to do with whether it's scriptural or not. What the music says, what the message of the music is what's scriptural. It's the message of the music that should never change, but the style should be the same. We're not singing Gregorian cants here. You know, they used to do that. Hello? And some of the hymns that we sing on occasion, we'll sing a hymn. We don't sing a lot of hymns here. Some of those hymns were actually, listen, they were barroom songs that they changed to Christian word. They changed words to them so they could reach that generation. You remember the old song, Old Danny Boy? Old Danny Boy. Remember that? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, they changed that to Amazing Grace shall always be my song of praise. Remember that? He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I will forever. You don't have a high enough voice to sing the rest of that song. Lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. That's Old Danny Boy. That was an old barroom song that the people of that day and age decided, hey, you know what? We're going to reach these people. Let's get something they'll listen to where they'll gather and hear us and we'll preach Jesus to them. And that's a good thing. But they didn't change the message. The message remained unchanging, see. That's what we always have to caution ourselves with, is that we don't become like the world. We want to reach the world, but we don't want to become the world. So we're going to make some changes in the way we package it, the way we approach, the way we reach out and so on and so forth, but we will never change this message. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. Amen. But you don't have to say that in Latin. You only have to say it in Old King James. You don't have to say, verily, forsooth, peradventure, and hitherto, yea, yea. You can say the same thing without all the tradition. So there's some things that don't change, and that's good. The Lord, He doesn't change. In the 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporal or temporary or changing. But the things which are unseen, they are eternal. Hallelujah. Yeah. Man, I love that. So no matter how long I live, no matter where I live, no matter what age I am, there are some unchanging things that are always, they're eternal, that I can always count on. You know, I taught a message the night, I mean the service after 9/11. Remember when the September 11th, 2001. The service after, it was a Wednesday night. Right after it happened, I got up and preached a message, said some things never change. Because all we heard on the news and all we heard for weeks and weeks and months was, we'll never be the same. Nothing will ever be the same again. Well, I'm here to tell you some things will always be the same. God's always, His Word's always the same. The truth never changes. Our enemy's still the same. And our outcome, hallelujah, will be the same too if we trust God. There's some things, thank God, that never change. But then there's some things that do need to change. Like you. Like me. You need to change? I need to change. I'm constantly changing, trying to conform myself to the image of Christ, you know, working at things, knocking off different things. You know, as Plato said this, and I'm not quoting Greek philosophy, I don't want you to think that he's right, you know, because he said it. Anytime Plato's right, it's because he said something the Bible says. We don't back the Bible up with Plato, we back Plato up with the Bible. You don't back the Bible up with history, you back history up with the Bible. You don't back the Bible up with science, you back science up with the Bible. Too many times we try to prove or disprove the Bible with all these fields of knowledge, and really what you need to do is get into the Bible and you'll find out there are certain fields of knowledge that are right and wrong and certain ones that need to be tweaked and adjusted, but the Bible's always right. And I love quoting facts of history. I love quoting scientific discovery. I love quoting things that back up the Bible. That's fine. But I don't want you to think I need that to back the Bible up. Truth's truth, no matter who speaks it. You know, it's Plato that said that the seen is the changing and what's unseen is the unchanging. He said that 400 years before Christ. Well, he was right. I mean, what you see is always changing. But what you don't see, God, His Word, His love for you, His care for you, His concern for you, His strength, His provision, His protection, that is unchanging. Hallelujah. And no matter what happens out here, no matter what changes out here, He will never change. Hallelujah. And you know, you kind of change from time to time, but He doesn't. You need to, but He doesn't. I need to, but thank God, you know, thank God He did. We've got to learn to adjust to changing times. Man, I hate to even give credit where that credit's due, but I should. Jimmy Carter said that. Wasn't my favorite president, but he was president of the United States of America. So he said that we've got to adjust to unchanging times, but hold to unchanging principles. Are you with me? Man, thank God for adjustments we've made in our church. You know, we've changed some things. We changed the way we're reaching out to people. We've changed, even our Hallelujah Night has changed somewhat. It's gotten a little better every year. You know, we just made adjustments, changing on the way we've done things. And the food ministry we started some 2 years ago, is that right? Mm-hmm. 2 years ago. We started out, we visited some food ministries, we got some great ideas, but then we began to adjust, we began to change so we could accommodate and be functional. Are you with me? Because it's all about being functional. I've changed as a minister. I've not changed what I preach, but I've changed in connecting with people. You know, we all communicate, but not everybody connects. I want to connect with you. I want you to get it. I want you to see it, to understand it, to grab it. It's not about me just putting out information, looking good. That's easy. I don't have a problem with that. Well, yeah, y'all pray for me. A little pride coming out there, but anyway. That's not the point. You don't want to walk out there and say, man, he looked good. Hey, of course I look good. I know that. Tell me something I don't know. But no, I'm gonna get in trouble. Or, oh man, I tell you, he's got a great delivery. I heard somebody say that one time. You know, well, okay, but did you get anything? That's my prayer. Did you hear what God was saying? Did God touch your heart? Did He pull you? Did He tug at you? Did he move you closer to Him? See, that should be every minister's prayer. That should be our prayer for everybody, is that they move closer to Him. Did you get convicted at all? Did anything in your life, something come alive you need to change, you need to repent of? Is there something in your life you need to change? I hope you get convicted when you come to church. Amen. Church should be fun and we should enjoy it, but it also should be a time of reflection. It should be a time of conviction. And when you get under the power of God and the presence of God, you should be convicted about your life when it's wrong, but not condemned, but convicted. And you should feel sorry and you should feel shame and you should repent. And then you should feel good again. And you should walk out, hallelujah, with your shoulders up straight, with a future and a hope, you know, having repented of your sin, but knowing that God loves you and He's for you, not against you. See, that's good. That's good change there. Amen. We come to church to change, willing to change. I want to come. Yeah. I want to be changed. You know, I heard this years ago, and there's two things you need to come to church with this in mind. Every service, you ought to come with this in mind. You ought to come hungry. Don't come full. Okay, don't come already knowing everything there is to know about God. Don't do that. Stay home if you already know everything. You ought to come hungry. And here's the second one. You ought to come willing to change. Because if you're not willing to change, you're going to stay right where you are the rest of your life doing the same old thing, getting the same old results. And you know, I'm hungry. I want to hear from God. I want to hear from heaven. And then I want to change what I need. What is it I need to change? Because God's not holding me back. It's me. God's not my problem. I have found the enemy, and he is us. You know? So I want to change something, and so I can get this right result. 2 Corinthians. Let's talk about change the thing. 2 Corinthians, 3rd chapter. Hallelujah. Change can be good if we are progressing. Okay? If we're heading toward a goal. Do we have a goal in mind? You know, I'm amazed at, you know, literature or entertainment world, or, you know, they come up with a new movie or a new book, or they'll say things like this. It always scares me when they say this. Oh, that was so bold and that was so progressive. Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm a little concerned when I use that word, because I don't always agree with what they're trying to progress to. Oh, we need to change things in our country. Well, I think there's some things that we do need to change. I had no problem with that. But I think a lot of people are trying to change us into something we're not. Hello. And we're trying to change into something that I don't want to be. Yeah. Well, you're just too hard-headed. You just need to change. Well, I understand. I need to change a lot of things, but some things I don't need to change. Mm-hmm. Well, you're just going down that church. You need to get into a bigger world. You're just in that circle, that church circle with those church people and those people that love God and believe in God and believe in Jesus, and you just hang around them a whole life, and all you're ever going to know is Jesus. Yeah? So the point is, what? I'm going to die and go to heaven, live forever, and you're going to hell. Now, what are we trying to say here? You just go down and get your brain washed, yeah, and you're still dirty. That went over real big. Now, I'm talking about you in particular. I'm just saying that's what the world says to us as Christians and believers. You're so narrow-minded. Well, why would I be open-minded about when I know the truth, I am open-minded about a lot of things I don't know. But if God made the world and he sent Jesus to die for my sins and Jesus rose again, the tomb's empty, hallelujah, he sat down on the right hand of God, he opened a way for all of us to go to heaven. I accepted that way. I called on him, and whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've been saved. I've been washed in the blood, baptized with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, speaking in other tongues. I've got the power of God on me now. I'm born again. I got life, not death. And I found the truth. I found the way. Why would I be open to other gods when there are no other gods? Why would I be open to other religions when there is no other truth? Muhammad can't save you. Buddha can't save you. Confucius just confused you. There's a lot of good people in all those religions. We're not saying they're all wrong all the way through. But only Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I mean, we could argue all day long about me being here in this church and this being Texas. And you could say, well, why are you so hard-headed about that? Well, this is Texas. And most people got here quick as they could if they weren't born here. But that's another story altogether. This is International Outreach Church. Why would I be open to you calling me Shirley instead of Michael? Because my name is Michael. Yeah. See, some things you don't want to change. Some people say, well, you just need to be, you're too narrow-minded, you need to open up. Well, I don't need to open up about something I know. I need to be open about what I don't know. Amen? So, you know, we have to define those things when we talk about change and when it's good, when it's not good, and what progress is. You know, G.K. Chesterton, he was a Christian, he was a critic, an essayist. He said about progress, I thought was really good. He said, progress is simply a comparative of which we have not settled the superlative. I'll explain that. In other words, progress is something we say we're doing without settling what it is we're changing into or going to. Everybody says this is progressive, but progressive to what goal? Progressive to what end? Oh, that new work, that film was so progressive. Well, what are we progressing to? That should be the question, amen? Amen. We should be changing, but we should be changing to something. Into something. I'm on a lifelong quest to change into something. I want to change into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to change into that. I want to hone off edges. There's not a day go by that I can't think of things I need to hone off, edges I need to, you know, work on. You know, the way I say things or talk to people or my attitude and my confession, so on and so forth. 2 Corinthians, y'all found it?
Amen.
2 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, I love this, we use great plainness or boldness of speech. See, we have such hope. That's what my goal here, and every time that I get a minister, is to be plain, be simple, so you can get it. We'll go to the Scripture. We look at the Scripture. You can walk out of here with a foundation. You can go to the verse. You can look at it. You can say, well, that's what God says right there. And not to just over-intellectualize it or over-spiritualize it, but just read it as it is. I firmly believe you can be too smart to get this, but you cannot be too dumb to get it. That was better than y'all were amening. So we use great plainness of speech, boldness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. He came off that mountain with the Ten Commandments. His face glowed so much from seeing the glory of God that he had to put a veil over his face. They couldn't even look at him because his face was so bright and so glowing that he had put a veil over his face, which really was like a picture or a type of a shadow being over the truth. You never really got the whole truth out of the Old Testament. There always was a veil over it. You know, we were working and working hard and trying to be good enough and make enough sacrifices. And all that time, that was never what God intended. There was coming a day when He was going to do away with all that. Abolish all that together. And see, we're telling you the plain, simple truth now. There's no veils. There's nothing hidden. Now we know what God's all about. Not bits, pieces, not pictures and shadows and types. We got the whole show. We got Jesus. He's what God is all about. He didn't bring us a message. He is the message. Hallelujah. He didn't talk about God and show us God. He is God. He's God in the flesh. The veil has been removed. Hallelujah, somebody. For all to see. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't even have to know how to use iPad. Or iPhone. Or anything. Not really. Their minds were blinded, 14th verse. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil or cover is done away in Christ. I love that. So when we get Jesus, when we accept Jesus, all of a sudden, the blinders come off. But we're actually trying to serve God and reading the Bible blindly without Jesus. Wow. You ever had a map? You know, I've said it this way. You know, a map, so you go down the corner, it has a little legend. Has all these little pictures in there, you know, these lines across, and oh, that's a railroad track. You know, you go to the legend to read the map. Well, see, the problem with people reading the Bible is if they don't know Jesus, they don't pick up all the signs. They don't know this is a railroad track. They don't know this is a mountain over here. They don't know this is an interstate and this is a country road. Hello, here's Starbucks over here. Wow, you don't want to miss that, okay? But Jesus comes along, and we go, yeah, okay, I see now. Oh, that's why. Oh, sure, there. Yeah, that's God. Raised sick, cast out the devil, stopped storms. He didn't start storms, stopped them. He didn't make people sick, He healed them.
Amen.
Now you're seeing God in action. You're getting the truth of this thing. Hallelujah. So, their minds are blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. I love that. But even to this day, 15th verse, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. It's on ours too, many times, you know. We're not believing, we're not trusting, we're not looking at Jesus. Nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away.
Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
The closer you get to God, the more you understand the Bible. That's pure and simple. The more you serve Jesus, worship Jesus, look for Jesus, see Jesus, focus on Jesus, the more you understand the Bible. Because He takes the veil off when you look at the Bible. But if you're not looking at it through Him, through that lens, I like to say it that way, because I think we get so many wild doctrines about God and about what He does and doesn't do and so on and so forth, because we're not looking through that lens of Jesus oh, we got a scripture here and a scripture there, but we got to look through Jesus to get it all straight. Jeremiah was more than a bullfrog. He was a prophet. Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Isaiah and all those guys, Moses, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. I mean, there's James and Peter and Mary and Paul, and we love them all. You know, thank God, apostles of Christ and mother of Jesus and so on and so forth. But see, they told us about God. They did their best to show us God, but Jesus is God. He is God. Are you with me? So he's saying, this is how we understand. And when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil will be taken away. 17th verse. Now, when the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I love that. Now, we often quote that about having a wild service, you know. We quote it about dancing and clapping and jumping and shouting. And I believe in jumping and shouting and dancing and clapping. I believe it. I believe we ought to have a good time. I believe if you're not having fun serving Jesus, you're not doing it right. I believe that. I believe that when you come to church, if you don't get excited and you don't get, you know, if you don't clap, if you don't sing, if you don't just have a sense of His presence on your life, there's going to be conviction, times of repentance, and so on. But if you don't walk out of here better than you walked in, I'll tell you, something's wrong. Just like that song, if that song didn't fire you up, your wood's wet, you need to adjust some things in your life, because it is fun serving Jesus. And real men love Jesus. And real men, macho men, big men, pray. They stay faithful to their wives. They live holy. Are you with me? But there should be liberty. I understand all that. But he's saying here, this liberty here, he's talking about is liberty to understand. I love that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I see it. One of those aha moments, you know. You're in church and all of a sudden something comes alive and you go, yes, I see that. I see that. I see that. Maybe God tugs at you and you realize He's good, not bad, and you've heard that all your life, but all of a sudden it came alive. He really does care about me. He loves me. I have a future and a hope. God is for me, not against me. He understands me. He's done everything He's done for me. That I'm the center of His attention, the apple of His eye. I am what this is all about. Really, you are and I am. He made all this for us. And He came down for us, not the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the moon up above and the thing called love. Came down here for you and for me. He is crazy about us. And we need to get a hold. We need to change. That's something we need to change. We need to change our thinking about God. Amen. To what? To conform to this. Yeah. We need to progress toward this. To our thinking about God is thinking about Jesus. He's what we're progressing toward in our thinking. God, Jesus. Good. Good God. Bad devil. So it's not okay. It's real simple. He says this. Y'all getting this? Man, I'm enjoying this. I'm having a big time. 18th verse. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, talking about the Word here now, the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Wow. It's one thing to see Jesus in the Bible. It's another thing to see you in the Bible. We can live our whole lives and just see God in the Bible, but we don't see ourselves in the Bible. You ain't got it yet. See, this is supposed to change you. Amen. This is different than a mirror. You get up in the morning, you look at the mirror, you know, and you start making adjustments for sure. Hallelujah. Thank God you did. I see a lot of you spent a lot of time in a mirror this morning. Thank you. You don't argue with a mirror, do you? I mean, I don't argue with... Do you ever argue with a mirror? No way. I don't look that bad. No, my hair is not that messed up. No, you don't argue with a mirror. The mirror doesn't lie. It's telling you the truth. But you have to make adjustments. Isn't that right? So you can get that... a better picture of yourself. And believe me, when you get up in the morning looking in that mirror, you have a better picture of yourself than what that thing is telling you. And so here we go. Women, you know, we start making that picture, making it happen. Hallelujah. Until we get it right. Isn't that right? Well, the Bible's that way. A lot of times we're running through the Bible here and we think, wow, man, did I do that? Yeah, I did. I got to quit that. I got to adjust that. Oh, I got to fix that. So you don't argue with the Bible. You don't argue with the mirror. The mirror's just telling you the way it is. But what's so good about this one, this mirror, as opposed to that mirror, is that this mirror, if you look in it long enough, it will start changing you. I wish I could just sit in front of the mirror in the morning and it would change me. It won't. I got to do some things. And we got to do some things too when we look in the Bible. But all of a sudden, we all with open face behold in this glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You spend time in His presence, He changes you. He changes you. Hallelujah. And we need that kind of change. This is the kind of change I can believe in. Are you out there? This is the kind of change I need and you need. It's being changed to His glorious image. Hallelujah. And it comes through His Word. One more scripture, we'll close this out. Turn to Romans 12. Oh, hallelujah. This helping you? I want to change. But I want to change into Jesus in the sense I want to look more like Him. I want to look like Jesus. Praise God. Romans 12 chapter, you recognize this. Actually, that word change that I was reading there in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that word change is metamorpho. Everybody say metamorpho. We get the word metamorphosis from that. It's to change the state of something, you know. Kind of like the Transformers. Robots in disguise, you know. Boy, that's dating. That's the old cartoons. I don't know what the new movies sound like. But anyway, you transform into something, you know. Well, God wants to transform us into something. Hallelujah. And He wants to transform us into Jesus to look like Him. We're not going to be Him. You're never going to be Jesus. There's only one Jesus. But your goal is to become like Him. You know, years ago I read this example, and I've used it many, many times, but there was a sculpture. He was chiseling on this big block of granite. It's just a huge block of granite, and he was chiseling away at it, and this little boy comes in the shop, and he says, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm sculpting out a horse here. And he says, well, how in the world are you ever going to make that block of granite look like a horse? He said, oh, son, that's real simple. He said, I just keep chiseling. I chisel everything off this block of granite doesn't look like a horse. When I get through, I got a horse. Now you may be thinking, how am I ever, ever going to be like Jesus? How am I ever going to be? He is so kind, He is so loving, He is so gentle, and yet He's so strong, so bold when He needs to be bold. He's so high and holy, and I'm so lowly. You know, to be like Jesus. There's no song, to be like Jesus, just to be like Him. How long to be like Him? So high and holy, so meek and lowly. And then He would go, How long, just to be like Him? I can't make the moves. It was Clint Utterback. He was from Hackensack. Seriously, Clint Utterback from Hackensack. And he would sing that song, to be like Jesus, just to be like Him. He'd move. Boy, I'd love to see Him move. I just wish I could move like that, you know. How long just to be like Him? He's so high and holy, so meek and lowly. How long just to be like Him? And we just go, yeah. Well, how am I going to do that? Well, you need to start chiseling off everything that doesn't look like Him. And it's a lifelong work. It may take a while, but it's worth it. And little by little, you'll become more like Him. Now listen to this. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's just reasonable, okay? To give your life to Him, give your body to Him. God's not looking for people to die for Him. He's looking for people who will live for Him. Anybody can die for Jesus. Hello? Not to take away from martyrs, not to take away from those that have given their lives. We honor them, and rightly so. But what I'm saying is God is looking for people who will live for Him. To present our bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorpho, Same word changed over there, changed from glory to glory to His image. Be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by, the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
Isn't that good? Stop thinking the way you used to think. Stop thinking those thoughts you've always thought. I don't know what you've thought about yourself. I don't know what others have said about you. But you know, all that really matters is what God says and then ultimately what you say. Because if you don't agree with God, what God wants for your life won't happen. The only true thing about you is what God says. The only thing that's going to happen for you is what you say. If you listen to what others say and you say what they say, then what they say will happen in your life and you'll always be what others say because that's what you say. But if you want to become what God says and you want to experience what God says, then you need to say what He says.
Amen.
Now to do that, you're going to have to change. You've got to change your thinking. You've got to change the way you think and change the way you talk. And if you'll do that, real change you can believe in. Change will come. And you will not be conformed to this world, but you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I want the will of God in my life. How about you? You know, what God tells us are possibilities. What God sees in us is what we can be. That's why He believes in us. That's why He's for us. Because He knows what we can be. He doesn't just see what's happening. He doesn't just see what we are. That saying I've been saying the last few weeks. Anybody can count the seeds in an apple. But only God can count the apples in a seed.
That's right.
He sees what we can become. He sees what we can be. He sees what we can change into. And that's a good change.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But that change is going to come as we change our thinking. That change is going to come as we change the way we see ourselves. That change is going to come as when we keep our vision, our goal up, as Jesus is our vision, He is our goal, He is our focus, He is who we're going, He's what we're progressing to, He's who we're being conformed to and ultimately transformed into. And that's going to come by the renewing of our mind. You know, what we want to never change is the goal. Never change, never throw away. Has anybody ever driven a perfect day in your life? Never, ever gone over the speed limit. Stop perfectly at the stop sign, never cross the yellow line. Have you ever done that? Perfectly. Perfectly. Never weaved. Never. No, I don't think so. I'm not looking for hands because I know they'd all be up. But let me ask you another question. That's just not achievable, is it? A perfect day, is it? I mean perfect. Perfect. Now we stop at stop signs, we drive the speed limit, but you know, we're going to ease over a little bit back, maybe roll a little bit, maybe hit that line just once or twice if we go any distance at all. It's going to happen. You know, it's going to weave just, but you know, we don't throw away the goal because we don't do it perfect. Do we? We get up every day and do our best to stay between the lines. We learned that when we were coloring. Never changes. When you're a little kid, you stay in the lines, you know. We learn. We do our best to stop as best we can. Drive the speed limit best we can. To obey the laws as best we can. If we don't do it just right, we get up next morning, we do it again. We got a goal. We stick with the goal. We stick. May not do it perfectly, but we don't throw the plan away. Maybe today you weren't such a great Christian, as it were. But don't you throw it away. Don't you give up. You're getting better.
Amen.
Getting better. Get up tomorrow and hit it again.
Yep.
End of the day, repent of what you did wrong and get up the next morning and hit it again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hit it running. And be changed. Let God change you. And let's be conformed, not to the world, but let's be conformed to God or transformed to change into what God has in mind for us, what He wants us to be. You can do it. You can be a better husband. You can be a better wife, better daddy, better mama, better child. Definitely better witness and better Christian.
Amen.
Amen.